morning. Today is Monday, November 28th, 2005. You're listening to KBOO Portland. And?
Well, and it's at 90.7 in the city, in the metropolitan area, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, and Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington, and points as far east as we can get.
Well, and if you go too far east, the weather might get kind of bad.
Kind of bad.
Generous.
It's a foregone conclusion. Wear your coats. Put your coats and your booties on. Now, if you go up point south where we still have rain in the forecast, and you would be listening to KBOO at 100.7. And you can tell your friends to join in with you at KBOO.FM.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Again, we mentioned that today is the 28th of November, 2005. It is 7:38 a.m. Monday morning, the first weekday for many people, first workday for many people following the holiday weekend. So it may...
Not work Friday.
Well, good.
I'm happy for everybody that had a four-day weekend, though. It was good.
This is great.
Yeah.
For those of you who are interested, you know, there are things that are happening in our community in the midst.
In the midst.
Today is Monday, November 28th, and at the Clinton Street Theater, there will be a premiere of a film about Aristide. And following the film, an update and Q&A on the current situation in Haiti. Brian Concannon, who is director of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. Again, this is a film of, entitled Aristide and the Endless Revolution, a Nicolas Rosier film, and it is promises to be an informative and very moving film about the situation in Haiti. It will be at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. That address is 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. And that will be shown at 7 p.m., following with a Q&A about the current situation in Haiti. For more information, you may phone 503-287-0696, or you may contact them at torapa@aracnet.com. torapa@aracnet.com. But if you did not get the information, we will leave this at the front desk, and you may call after 9 a.m.
and find out just where to go or what it's about. And again, it's an opportunity to find out what's going on with Haiti and Jean-Paul Aristide.
Well, this morning we have the opportunity to engage in conversation with you and with those around you in our community. This is our somewhat regular...
almost, what is it, quasi-monthly?
Quasi-monthly. Oh, that's a definition. Can I use that in Scrabble? I doubt it.
Yeah, you can use quasi.
I can use quasi-monthly.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, quasi?
Mm-hmm.
And Q is worth 10 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, that's another.
And then there's the U, too.
And there's the U. Well, that's only worth 1 point.
I thought U was worth like 3 points.
Yeah.
Oh, just one. Well, vowels, I guess, are easy. Vanna, just give me a whole passel full of them, please.
But much is going on. The Vice President of the United States is I don't know. He's doing what vice presidents usually do when the administration gets in trouble.
Yeah, they are.
He defends them and saying very strange things. He's speaking. Cindy Sheehan continue her her witness outside of the president's Texas so-called ranch this weekend, and many things are happening. This is an opportunity for you to call to share things that are on your mind, and we give you approximately 3 minutes to talk about just about anything. Now, you know that there are some rules that... one, you have 3 minutes. Topics are open. We might want to engage with you in conversation. So You know, if you pause, we might have a question or a comment. And this is an opportunity for listeners to become participants and to share in the forum here of community conversations. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. That's a Portland number. If you give us a call here and share your opinion, we will put you on the air. In the meantime, Celeste, how are you doing this day?
I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying everything. I will tell you, we've been trying to get our calendar for December together, and we will be fortunate enough to have Glenn Ford, who is one of the editors and writers behind the website Black Commentator. He'll be joining us, and it's an opportunity to share some of the really pithy insight that you can find on the Black Commentator. We've had him as a guest before. Folks enjoy the opportunities to speak with him. And so I think you'll find that to be a really interesting show. Some other things we have in the future. I don't know how many of you have ever read the series about the detective named Easy Rollins. And one of the stories was made into a movie called Devil in a Blue Dress, written by Walter Mosley. Walter Mosley is a prolific writer. He has written several other books. Some of them have been more in the Easy Rollins series, who is, I want to say, a post-World War II black detective. No, he doesn't necessarily look like Denzel, but, you know, Denzel did play him. But Walter has also written a really pithy text about civil rights, and so we're trying to get him for an interview in late December or January when his book is released. And another project I think we're looking at is journalism and warmongering. And this is another former guest here on More Talk Radio. His name is Chris Scheer, and he has been with us before for some of his other books that he's written. And so you have some things to look forward to coming into the new year. But right now, this is your opportunity. If you love to talk, love to share your ideas, have something to say, this is your opportunity for Open Forum. And as Cecil said, Open Forum is your chance to share on just about any topic. We ask you to to be quick and concise in your statements. Give us a call, and especially if you've never called in before. This is your chance to get up. And we run into so many people who say, oh, love the show, love the opportunity to talk, love your topics, but you never call in. Well, this is your turn. So your phone number, if you want to participate, is 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our first caller. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the air now. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I haven't followed how much this topic has been brought up at cable, and I don't listen all the time or not. But so much of the discussion and the argument about the war right now going on is based on the premise that 9/11 was a terrorist attack, and there's a lot out there suggesting that it was a kind of a setup, you know. And it seems like the media, just nobody wants to follow that up at all. And if it really is what a lot of people are suspecting it is, then the call for impeachment is letting those guys off pretty easy. They all should be tried for treason. You know, it's it's pretty scary if this is really what some people are suggesting it is. The first time I heard it suggested, I thought, oh, no, these guys couldn't possibly. I mean, that's just, that's out there, too far out there. And then I started looking on the Internet, and there's an incredible amount of stuff there. And if you read it in any detail, it's pretty convincing. So I don't know. Opening up that as a topic of conversation for a Monday morning, especially right after a holiday weekend, I don't know if people want to follow that or not.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things, and you mentioned these guys, and was pretty vague. Could you
Well, you know, those guys in that are pretty much directing the imperialist thrust of the foreign policy. Is that clear enough?
You mean the administration?
Well, yeah, I guess the regime.
And are you looking at any particular people specifically?
No, I don't think there's nothing in particular pointing to any particular people. It's just the evidence around the events are so overwhelming.
And what was set up exactly, and why or how? Or could you direct us to some information? You mentioned the internet and you found sources there.
Well, I mean, there's loads of websites with lots of information, and you know, I guess if you were to patch it together in a meaningful way, it looks like the towers were demolated. Number 7 for sure. There's I mean, how they even could try to pretend that wasn't demolated the way it came down. Silverstein saying, "Yeah, we just decided to pull it." You know, you look at all the bits and pieces, the so-called 757 that hit the Pentagon, as it was described as going whoosh by the people in the neighborhood there. Mm-hmm. You know, those twin Rolls-Royce engines don't go whoosh.
Well, thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah.
And you're listening to KBOO 90.7. Our first caller was referring to the incident at 9/11 and remarking on something that many people have heard in terms of whether or not the official reports of the incidents were accurate or not, or whether there was something more. And so give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll participate in this conversation. One thing that we noticed earlier, that often here on KBOO, that there are people who follow events and who are very savvy in terms of looking up events on the web, on foreign sites, and have lots of information. Now, being not...
It's really helpful if we can, you know, get some websites, we can get some specific sources. You know, it really helps a lot for those who are listening. If before you call in, you can have a list of some very specific sources for information, because we don't want to offer ideas without being able to offer some form of, shall we say, verification. Yeah.
Trust but verify.
Yes. There you go.
Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. We have some callers who... I'll call it in, and we'll get to you real soon, as soon as our engineer is able to connect you. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning, caller, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning. Okay. We're plagued by those gremlins of technical difficulty here.
We'll try again. Good morning.
Well, hi. How are you?
All right.
Happy day after Thanksgiving Day weekend. I hope you guys... ate massive quantities of food.
No, actually, I didn't.
Oh.
I decided that, you know, a circumscribed appetite is best.
Okay. Well, good. Okay, open forum today, huh?
Yep.
Okay, good. I have something on my chest. I need to get it off.
All right.
Okay. I'm a senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I am taking some courses over at PCC.
All right.
And I'm retired, and I'm going to school because I want to, not because I have to. Yahoo.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. That's the best way.
Yeah. All right. So now I'm taking a class and struck up a friendship with one of my young classmates. Mm-hmm. And we started a conversation, and I said to her, "What are you going to do in the future?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, I'm going to graduate here, and after I finish my education here, I'm going to have to leave town. And I said, why? And she said, as a young Afro-American woman, there's no opportunity in this city for me. Cecil, Celeste, it tore my heart out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did she say why she felt that way?
I don't know whether this is indicative of the way the youth feel, or if it was just her. Mm-hmm. But Cecil, Celeste, if the best and brightest people have to leave our city because of the tone of their skin color, something is terribly, terribly wrong here.
Well, did she say what was her field of study or why she felt she had to leave?
Because there was no opportunity in Portland for a young Afro-American woman.
Well,
she said, and this might be just her feelings,
mm-hmm.
but she said she felt all of the doors here were closed to her because of the tone of her skin color. That's what she said. And I know it was coming from her heart, mm-hmm. okay? And I don't know whether it was just her feelings, isolated feelings, or whether that's the way the young people are thinking. But if that's the case, then we have a very serious problem in this city.
One of the interesting things about living in Portland, and some might even say Oregon, is that it's a land of opportunity, but it's kind of a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm.
While it's true there is still bigotry that you have to deal with in the city, and we hear about it and it rears its heads in some very interesting fashions, it's also a place where there is still some opportunity because it's a small city. I mean, people might argue with me on that, but in terms of who you know, how you negotiate through the channels, this is not a big megatropolis by any means. And so sometimes relationships really do bear fruit really quickly.
Okay.
But that's not to say that, you know, for her experience, I can't say that it is or isn't true. A lot depends on how old she is, what she's trying to get into, what her past experiences have been.
Okay,
I'm
going to surmise that she's probably in her early to mid-20s. And I have no idea about what her what her life is.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is the impression that she has of our city, then maybe our city needs to do something to change that.
Well, not only would I agree that if this is the impression she has, that something does need to be done, that we need to perhaps take a look. But more importantly, I'd like to know where we'd have to take a look. Because, you know, her saying that, like I said, I can't validate it. I can't discount it. I can only speak with my experiences that, you know, that basically I've had some of the same experiences. But at the same time, again, I'm one of these people, show me where the problem is, you know, and then I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and use my tools.
Okay, I see.
I think one thing that this young woman points out to is a phenomenon that is true here in Portland. That is a brain drain that's taken place.
True.
That there's a tendency for those who are people of color, particularly African Americans, who feel that opportunities here are limited, and partially in because of what Celeste mentioned, because it's a small town, and it depends on who you know and how you know it. And people feel that there are more opportunities in larger cities where there is a larger black population, where there's infrastructure there that you'll find in Atlanta or Detroit or New York or even Los Angeles, where you have institutions that are decades old, where you can find nurture. I know many young African Americans who, following graduation, decide to leave the state and go particularly to a predominantly black college, just because they will have the opportunity and be able to connect with people from many parts of the country. One thing I would say is as you continue to talk with this young woman, I think you're doing a good thing by being there to listen, because I think so often that people have issues and they feel as if there's no one there to hear their concerns. As Celeste mentioned, I think it's important to be helpful as much as possible in terms of directing people and find specific on what are their concerns. But mm-hmm. What she mentioned is not unique, and I think that many people in our cities should be aware of what she's stating, because I don't think she's only speaking about herself.
Okay. You know, but more importantly, if in the course of you listening, it's helpful to get her to articulate exactly what it is she finds to be problematic, because if she's not able to really grapple it with it and to understand what the dynamic of the problem is, she might carry those same issues with her or not be able to deal with them wherever she runs into them. Because although it is important to have opportunities to be in a place that's culturally nurturing and gives you a strong sense of identity and what your potential is, to contribute to society, it's also important to recognize there are a lot of problems with bigotry of all shapes, sizes, and colors everywhere. And just leaving Oregon and going to some other place does not mean she leaves behind the land of, you know, of ignorance and walks into the land of enlightenment. It just means that she trades one set of problems for another set of problems, and you have to have some basic tools to be able to deal with it.
Okay, can I just make one more?
Really quickly.
Okay, very quick observation. All right. The dynamic of our city is predominantly white. Everybody on the city council is white. Our mayor is white.
And male.
All right. And so what kind of successful role model can this young Afro-American look to, okay, to emulate, right? When our city is like so representative of like white America.
Well, you know what I would say. I'd say to anybody of any race or ethnicity, do a little research, look and find out who's in your backyard who does have, you know, values that you can look up to. And is it, if not of the same ethnicity, is somebody that you can still look up to culturally and in terms of your values. You have to search out who you're going to be. And also say sometimes you have to look to your family. You know, sometimes you do have family members, people who are in your immediate circle, teachers, friends, you know, such as maybe yourself to look up to, who can be a role model. But you have to also put forth that effort. You know, if you don't put forth that effort for yourself, then there's nothing you're going to reap. You're not going to reap anything.
Okay.
But thank you for your call.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Small Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And this morning, we are having open forum where listeners are able to call in and talk for approximately 3 minutes on topics of your concern. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Oh, please turn your radio down.
Hey,
there you go. Turn your radio down.
I just did that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Okay. The first caller who called in on 9/11, there's a great book called, I think it's David Ray Griffin. Have you heard that one?
No, I can't say I have.
Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't read it, you should. And the reason you should read it is because he does a very good job of analyzing information collected by three journalists. And he doesn't answer the conspiracy theory about who did it. He merely points out that the official government version of who did it is not plausible.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't add up. And I think it would be a really terrible, terrible thing if in the end, say 20 years out, 15 years out, that America continues to believe the official line, which is not plausible. It just doesn't add up. It couldn't have happened the way they say it did.
And the official, could you say what the official line is?
Yeah, well, the official line is, the official conspiracy theory, if I may use a term which unfortunately has received all kinds of discredit. The official theory is it was a series of coincidences and incompetencies. So starting with the security failing to keep these guys off, combined with NORAD not operating and staging aircraft to shoot the things out of the sky, to a whole host of to investigating really why did the buildings collapse by doing a good forensics examination of the materials and so on. So what David Ray Griffith says in the New Pearl Harbor is he lays out he answers the question, what is conspiracy theory? And he points out, without answering it, he says, on a scale of, you know, kind of A to Z, we have the government version of incompetencies and coincidences, which is a conspiracy theory, two, levels of complicity, not saying who. He says, it could be the White House staged it with Dick Cheney. It could be Dick Cheney and Pentagon people staging it. It could be letting these, that there was, in fact, an authentic effort to do this. And this is what I believe, that there really was a group of Al-Qaeda, if that organization really exists, to do this, but that they were allowed to do it. And there's even people with that theory that, I'm not even going to go there. But if you can't say why building number 7 collapsed, and you look at the video clip, and it's pretty evident that it was demolished, it was taken out, it was blown up, then, and you're going to stand, if you can't explain why building 7 collapsed, and you're going to stand by the federal version, the official version, then you're an irresponsible person. You're not thinking clearly, because you don't know, and you shouldn't say you stand by the official version, because it's not possible. Does that make sense?
I think that's you raised some interesting points, and again, could you give the name of that book again by David Ray?
Griffin. I think it's Griffin or Griffith.
Okay,
Griffin.
We're trying to look it up on the net right now.
Okay.
The New Pearl Harbor. Okay.
It's excellent. It doesn't answer the questions. It just says, it points out, it gives you a great way to think about this amazing, amazing event. And it's so wicked to contemplate that an American would allow this to happen, that it's repugnant to us. I'll just, in closing, I raised this I went to a family gathering out of state. Mm-hmm. I raised it. And people freaked out. They could not have a coherent, logical dialogue about this question. This is how disturbing it is to the American public. And that's why the press doesn't touch it.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much for that information.
Yeah. Okay, all right, bye.
Goodbye. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. Our last caller was sharing about 9/11 and those who argue against the so-called official version of the events of leading up to that day. He offered, as a suggestion, a book by an author named David Ray Griffin, and the book is called New Pearl Harbor. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, 503-231-8187. And speaking of that, I'd heard something early on this morning that the former Secretary of State will be in town at some point. I don't have any more information, but I do know that Mr. Powell will be in Portland or in Oregon sometime soon. We'll probably have some information before the end of this program. But give us a call if you want to talk about this or other topics, or, how was Thanksgiving, or what is Dick Cheney saying, or how is the mayor doing? Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning. I'd like to commend you for mentioning specifically the time period that you're trying to limit calls to and your efforts to limit the calls. It improves the show tremendously.
Okay. Do you have some thoughts this morning?
Yes. I feel that people who voice so-called conspiracy theories should be allowed as much leeway to do that, space and time to do that, as people who call in for anything else. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Okay, yes.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. And as the caller suggested, we're trying to give equal opportunity time for all callers. We're not, I'm certainly not censoring your comments, and certainly we don't have any control about who calls. So this is a free and open forum, and people are, you know,
welcome to participate. Okay, so I ran and I did check, and yes, the book is there. David Ray Griffin is there. It's interesting because there's a couple of folks. One of them, Mr. Bertlett from the, what is it, Political Research Associates, I think is it, is saying, well, Griffin's book is a little faulty because he's basing it on some shaky conclusions. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find out a little bit more about the Political Research Associates. But anyway, here's the deal. You can go online. You can do a Google. You can find out about it. It is listed. I went to the Democracy Now! Website because sometimes you look at the websites. And so, you know, you can go and you can check it out for yourself and make your own determinations.
Well, that is so great.
Yeah, the wonders of technology. What can I say?
Well, if you have a comment about that, you know, sometimes people call and not only about 9/11, but about a number of issues. And I don't know whether it's the culture of KBOO or maybe suspicion of the media that make people suspicious of official versions. So we've not only, I mean, heard, I think the last caller was suggesting that we should give those who offer these alternative views equal time. And I think KBOO does that to a great degree.
A great deal. You're right. I would say this though. I don't have any problem, but I don't like to talk to people who give you a lot of supposition, a lot of I thinks or lots ofs, maybe I heards, you know, and can't nail you down some sources, or who are reluctant to nail you down some sources. You know, like myself, it's quite possible that they cram so much in there that things start leaking out. You know. And you may not remember exactly who it was, but you're kind of charged with coming to the air and having something written down. Scribble it down quickly. Check the website, then make your phone call. So that you have a name, you have a site, you have a book, you have a person, you can reference a show, the time and date and hour that it took place, so that others can have the benefit of the same experiences you have and maybe be able to draw some broader conclusions. The whole idea of having an open discussion is that we come away with a larger view of the world and each other and ourselves than we entered it into the conversation with.
Because what we're going to do, I mean, the opportunity is because you're not going to get this information out of the major daily newspaper.
Yeah, that's true.
And those who have, you know, taken the time, and I really admire folks who do all this research, and you know, where do they find the time to search? But that's really critical and really important because I think our society don't want us to do that sort of thing. So,
well, there's so many ways. And, you know, and for those who feel that there is a conspiracy, I'm not going to act like I don't have my favorites. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is if you be able to document the information, it's kind of like leaving a trail of breadcrumbs. Then we can all either find our way to the sword and the stone and set ourselves free, or we can find our way out of the labyrinth, one or the other, you know. But that's what we're charged with doing when we try to have information, is to give each other clues on how to see more clearly or find the way in or out.
And there's so much information out there, so if you can share it. You know, I'm still trying to figure out who killed Abraham Lincoln. But in the meantime,
so you don't believe it was John Wilkes Booth?
Well, that's another story.
Another conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy.
All right.
In the meantime, we'll go to our next caller, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning. Oops.
Oh, we waited too long.
Okay.
We're trying to get that caller up again. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. This is More Talk Radio. This is an opportunity for you to give us a call. We'll give you about 3 minutes to talk about just about anything.
Yeah, and that means you can change the subject. We don't have to stay on 9/11. We don't have to stay on race relations in Portland, and we don't have to stay on conspiracy theories in general. We can branch out.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I just have a small comment in regard to those conspiracy theories. I don't know. I don't really believe them. But on the other hand, where is Bin Laden? Bin Laden is supposed to be the one who arranged the 9/11 attacks, and he has not been found. And I don't think that our president, with the most powerful CIA apparatus which he has, is interested in finding him. How come?
I don't think he's interested in finding him either. We haven't heard anything more about him. No.
Yeah, right.
It's no different than the usual shell game that's perpetrated on us. You know, look over here now. Oh, you didn't see me hit you, did you? Yeah, how do you know it was me? You know, I think it's just a shell game. And most of us are fairly sophisticated. When you get us one-on-one and we sit and talk, most folks are pretty bright. You know,
yeah.
But you get us all together and you get us collectively worried about what's going on, and then we kind of abdicate thinking.
Yeah, okay, bye.
All righty.
And
quick to the point.
That is. There's something wrong with my earphone.
Uh-oh. It's phasing in and out.
Phasing in.
Mine is too.
Let's go to our next caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to go back a couple of callers ago and just second the recommendation on the book, The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin.
Have you read it?
Excellent source. I have, and I've read the follow-up, which was the 9/11 Commission Report,
mm-hmm.
Omissions and Distortions, which really analyzes the report and analyzes kind of the very obvious facts that were not addressed at all in the report,
mm-hmm.
kind of similar to the Warren Commission and the Umbrella Man and a lot of the questions that never were addressed during the Warren Commission investigation. So I highly recommend that. The other thing I would like to point out is that I don't think we really give enough time to the government behind the government. And what I mean by that is not conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Organizations like the Bilderberg Organization, which is kind of an annual meeting of extremely wealthy, extremely powerful people to kind of discuss matters of international politics and commerce, does happen. In fact, in David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, he does actually brag about his first invitation to go to the Bilderberg Organization.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not conspiracy. And neither is organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations,
mm-hmm.
which is another very, very powerful think tank, one that doesn't get the kind of attention that the Heritage Foundation does. But if you look at the number of Council on Foreign Relations members who have seated the cabinets of the last probably 10, 15 presidencies,
okay.
it's pretty extraordinary. So I think that if we're really going to get behind this little puppet game of Democrat versus Republican, we need to kind of follow the money trail back to the think tanks, who's funding them, and what their agenda is. And until we really do that on kind of an introspective level in our national media, we're going to have a very, very hard time understanding national policy and some of these things that, as a government, we do that bewilders us as critical thinking citizens, saying, oh, my God, this, how stupid,
yes.
you know, what we're doing overseas. But, in fact, there is an agenda, and there is a lot of thought going on with this. And that's all I got to say. I have to go into work now.
Okay.
All righty. Thanks.
Well, thank you for sharing the information.
Bye.
You know, the caller talking about the government behind the government, really, it's not as far-fetched as people would think. And just to draw a really basic analogy of organizational structure, you always have what's your kind of your executive committee of any group, your executive body of any group that for maneuverability, mobility, for timeliness sake, is inclined to make decisions for a group. And their actions aren't always as transparent as they hold them up to be. So just assume that there's divisions of government that do just that. They act as kind of an executive body. In other words, they can act quickly and answer questions later. But in terms of there being a strong network, it's something really that you'll find echoed in a lot of different fields of thought. And it's part of what I call my, and tongue-in-cheek, and everybody has their own names for stuff, so this is why I call it one of my quote-unquote unified field theories. What do I mean by that? It's one of those overarching structures that kind of unifies all the different problems that are going on. And when you look at it, it's kind of like they say about health, for example. They can attribute many diseases to just, you know, a handful of problems. to that end, I happened to be reading this book. I just picked it up over the weekend, and I thought, well, this will be kind of interesting. I've seen it on television. I got it at a good price, and I thought I'd get it. It's by Kevin Trudeau, Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know About. Now, the interesting thing is just the they that he references, and that they being a kind of consortium of different folks, from pharmaceutical companies to people who grow the food to the lobbyists who lobby against various diseases, just a whole group of folks who, if disease were to go away, would lose their jobs, so that they have a vested interest in it not happening. Just his stating that within the realm of health lets you know that there are a lot of folks who are stumbling more and more often on the fact that there are arch organizations that do sit down and act as an executive body, and they have their various alliances. What you do on an opportunity with Cable is you get a chance to share how you've become aware or had a chance to peek behind the curtain or the veil, so to speak.
And we'll go to our next caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, here's a conspiracy for you.
Oh, okay.
Social programs are a scheme designed to con people into trading their liberty for slavery.
Okay, now, I don't know if it's because you're out in public or on a cell phone, but I can't hear half of what you said.
Social programs are a scheme to con people into trading their liberty for slavery.
And social programs such as...
Hello? Oh, okay. Okay.
He mentioned social problems as a
social
con.
Social programs are a con.
To make people trade their liberty for slavery.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, all I can say to that is there might be some truth to that, because there are a lot of times when people have been on social assistance and you have limits to what you can earn or you can do. And so your activities are kind of constrained. But at the same time, think of people who didn't have anything. So they're in a different kind of slavery, to abject poverty.
Well, the problem with that is that it's a very broad.
Thank you.
And I don't know what he was referring to. So,
well, yeah.
More specific as you can be. Social programs such as
blank.
Right. In the meantime, we'll go. Oh, we have three callers online.
Oh, okay. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on there.
Good morning. The gentleman who called in and said that someone told him that the book, the aforementioned book, title I forget, was a little bit faulty. La-di-da. The book wasn't perfect. And that shouldn't turn anybody off from reading the book, because it's a little bit faulty. Or it shouldn't relegate whatever is treated in the book to being conspiracy theory from the negative interpretation of that description. I'd like to know, can a cable member, does a cable listener have access to the, what they call the air checks of shows? In other words, could I request the air check of a show?
I imagine so. I don't think you have to be a cable member. I believe that's one of the policies of the FCC, that you can come in. You would have to come in during business hours and talk with the station manager or the program manager to find out specifically, because I admit I don't know all of the FCC regulations by heart, but I would suggest that you... Hey, what can I say? But I will suggest you check in with the station manager or the program manager or one of the news directors during business hours Monday through Friday and find out.
And the person who oversees all of the programmers, what's that person's name?
Well, actually, if you check our website, everything is on there. There is no one person that oversees all of the programmers. So it depends on what you want. If you want music, that's one person. If you want news in the morning, that's one person. If you want news or public affairs in the afternoon, that's a different person. The volunteer coordinator could tell you about the programmers, but she couldn't tell you about all of the FCC rules, because that's not her job either.
Yeah.
But you can call and ask for the interim station manager, and his name is Wiley Barnett.
Wiley Barnett.
Yeah.
Because one host mentioned that her supervisor had agreed with her that she should censor callers. And she had the audacity to actually verbalize that on the air. And there have been some callers who called in and tried to criticize her. And she just said, well, I'm not going to talk about that. That's not what I want to talk about today.
Well, if she's got a limited topic, I kind of have to support that. Right now, this is open forum. If we were talking about water rights, I would not talk to somebody about the famine in any place.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a limited forum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. This is KBOO, open forum. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Maura from Radio Free Ireland.
Hi, Maura. How you doing?
Good, thank you. I know it's a bit selfish for me to phone in when I have my own hour. But,
yeah, shame on you. No, go ahead.
You invited us to change the subject. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. Just wanted to take a moment to invite people to a film we're offering this evening.
You mean the one on Aristide?
Yes. I don't know if you got a chance to tell folks about that.
Yes,
but
we did. Tell us about it, you know, who directed it, a little bit about it.
Right. Okay, well, thanks very much. I won't take up any more of your time, except to let people know that the film starts at 7 p.m. sharp at the Clinton Street Theater.
Okay. Well, before you go, Mara?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, good. Can you tell us just a little bit about the producer?
Sure, I'd love to. Nicholas Rossier is actually from Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess was so deeply affected by a photograph of Haiti he saw as a child that as a filmmaker he went back. And, of course, you know, there's so many outstanding questions about what really happened to Aristide and just how much the U.S. government had to do with his overthrow, not once but twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first democratically elected president. He was popular. And, you know, it's something of a mystery, and there's several different stories going around. So this film is brand new. It's actually premiering in New York this week, but we brought it to Portland. And I think it's going to answer a lot of people's questions.
Okay. And could you tell us, is there a fee for admission?
Sure. It's $6 to $10 suggested donation, but we're certainly not going to turn away anyone. You know, we want as many people as possible to see the film, so whatever you can afford, nothing if that's what that is. And we also have a special guest speaker, Brian Concannon Jr.,
mm-hmm.
who's the director of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, and he's done some amazing work trying to get people out of prison who've been held for years without charge. So he's going to have some real interesting updates for us as well. We're very excited to get him in town
to go
along with the film.
Thanks. And thanks for your call, Maura.
Thanks for letting me have a minute of your time.
All righty.
Have a good show.
You too.
Bye.
And again, that film is Aristide and the Endless Revolution. We will be shown in Portland this evening at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton at 7 p.m.
Sharp. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland. And we're trying to connect the community. So far, we've been talking about everything from Aristide to 9/11 to the whole idea that conspiracy theory, a little bit of it is healthy. It keeps us aware that we are not necessarily the captain of our ship, and to be aware of who else might be guiding things. And I think we've talked about politics in general. But feel free to change the subject. We're not wed to one particular, and you can join in the conversation by dialing 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, it's you.
Okay, awesome. Once again, thanks for everything you guys do, and I wish I could change the subject, but unfortunately, 9/11 is a subject I don't think we're going to be changing anytime soon. Conspiracy theory is what I wanted to talk about in relation to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there was intelligence that could have been prevented. I've heard this website mentioned on your show before. It's Infowars.com.
Say that again.
It's Alex Jones, Infowars.com, and it details orders to stand down on the morning of 9/11 to the Air Force that would have been nearby in New York. and such. And the fact that it was just pretty fishy, a lot of fishy things going on, that the collapse doesn't match, you know, just getting hit by a couple of things. There were supposedly blasts planted within the building. So all kinds of things. I think we need to always and forever until the truth to surface, look at 9/11 with a big magnifying glass and make those accountable, answer for what they did.
Okay.
And that's all.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You know, there seems to be, again, this is another topic that people just call up because people are really interested in this and have very strong opinions about that. And
well, I'm kind of fascinated. I guess one of the reasons why it doesn't sit as high on my list is I automatically assume that there's things going on that I don't know about. I don't believe everything that the government says anyway.
Right.
So I wasn't surprised, you know, and even just the way it all happened, you know, sometimes it just gives you a weird feeling. You assume, something's going on. I don't know, like I said, you know, growing up, and if you're any other color than white in this country, you kind of have a feeling this thing's going on, and you're not always in control. But I'm fascinated that this is one of those theories that won't die, and I wonder if it's because for a lot of people, they're beginning to find out that maybe there are things going on that they don't know.
I wonder, is that this generation, JFK assassination?
Yeah, that, well, then you've also got the stolen elections. You know, and with an S. So, you know, you got three major things that are, I would say, upsetting the apple cart of complacency. And maybe that's why they don't go away. Well, not to say they should, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a continuing.
Cease to be as significant on the radar. Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
We'll go to our next caller. You're listening to KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Good morning, caller, and thank you for waiting.
Hi, this is Glenn.
How you doing, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm a KBOO more or less web guy. I'm also one of the leaders of the PDX 9/11 Truth Alliance. I'm amazed at your program. I want to tell you that I didn't plant any of these calls.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
I know
no.
You did. I saw your fingerprints on the bookmark.
Oh, no. Okay. on the very front page of KBOO's website right now is the entire JFK to 9/11 conference. It was at the library this past weekend, I guess.
Oh, so in other words, I need to just be quiet because here we are hanging out the flag talking about come
oh,
to
no,
our
no,
shores.
No, no. Keep talking. The JFK to 9/11 thing is on the front page of the website.
Okay.
On the main archive page.
All right.
There is, and this is the single best, in my opinion, lots of opinions around. It's a talk by Morgan Reynolds at the library September the 10th, and that's on the main archive page at KBOO. There's also a whole second section on the Public Affairs and Commentary archive page, 9/11 Election Fraud and Peak Oil. So KBOO's on top of it. In addition, there is a program proposed. We're waiting for a time slot to open it to get it through the programming committee to be called WTC7 after the World Trade Center 7, the absolutely inexplicable one. Chris, Andrea, and I are working on that. I would like to thank the two of you for hosting such an excellent episode of that program, the first one.
Well, okay, inadvertently, but there it is.
There it is. It's fine. Thank you both so much and your callers.
All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Glenn.
Talking about conspiracies.
Wow. You know, I feel manipulated.
But aren't we all? That's the point.
I was just going to say that. Aren't we all? You know, it's nothing more than what is it, classic conditioning. You know, we're conditioned, we're programmed. I'm not saying that all of us are by KBOO. I'm just saying we're programmed, and so our responses are pretty predictable. You know, they pay a lot of well-educated, you know, quotations and tongue-in-cheek, psychologists and psychiatrists to figure out how to predict how we're going to do what we do so that they can make money off of us. I took the wrong course in college.
Obviously. Well, let's go to our caller.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Say, Cecil, I just wanted to let you know, man, that yesterday I actually watched a cartoon, The Emperor's New Clothes, and figured out what you meant when you said the emperor has no clothes.
Okay.
That's
pretty deep. But anyway, I just wanted to say that when it comes to conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to fight Arthur. I think that's irrelevant. I think that there's enough historical facts out there in history that we can draw from that. And it's obvious that the Bush administration has taken all their playbooks or most of their playbooks out of the Third Reich's playbook. We can see that. When Hitler, the Nazi party, burned down the Reichstag, they blamed it on the Jews, and they needed to use that to further their agenda, then it's not a big step to look at the fact that the Republican Party probably had the Twin Towers knocked down. We see that. We see the similarities. You know, when they talk about preemptive strike, Hitler talked about the Blitzkrieg. We see that. I don't need to get on this show and fight an Arthur to you to justify that there's a conspiracy, because what that does is that fragments things. And everybody knows that you can't fragment the struggle or the movement. We have to look at everything in its totality. And Celeste, sometimes you have a tendency to want to fragment things. You can't do that. And I just want to let you leave that with you. We need to get out of the studios. We need to get out of the classrooms. We need to get in the streets, because that's where things are going to get changed at. You know, when America changed everything, they didn't do it behind doors. They was out in the streets, you know, and that's what we're going to have to do if we're going to change the system. And as far as how you learn things through contradictions. When things contradict itself.
Hey.
Thank you for your time.
What happened?
You're going to make me start believing in conspiracy.
No, I don't have anything to do with that. Okay. You know, I don't see it as fragmenting things. I see it as making things whole.
Yes.
I'm sorry that the caller sees me asking people to cite their sources as fragmenting things. You know, you can't just be anecdotal all the time. And if you are, you lose credibility. You know, cite your source. Whether your source is valid or not will be proven with time. I'm going to stand on that, you know. And I appreciate your contradicting me.
You know, yeah. One thing that the last caller mentioned, you mentioned in terms of citing sources, I think that's really important. But I think another time we should talk about ways of knowing and ways
yeah.
of knowledge. Because,
yeah.
Again, this is because I think it's a big issue in terms of, you know, how do you prove what – you know, and there's ways of knowing cultural differences and
right.
whole range of.
Well, points. See, had that been the basis of the conversation, I would have been able to agree with the caller, because I do believe that there are different ways of knowing. And one of the things, if I'm not mistaken, I heard him say is get out there and get your fingers dirty,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm a believer in that. I'm roll up my sleeves and I get in there and you know, I'm not the kind that sits, you know, in the classroom learning the theory, the exalted and esoteric theory behind it, you know. But by the same token, I'm not one who can't distance oneself and look at broad movements or trends or patterns, too, which requires you to be able to handle abstractions. So, you know, you got to have a balance. You got to get in and get dirty all the way up to your neck, you know, but you also have to be able to step back for a moment and look at how things interact on a very large global level, you know. So caller, on one hand, I'm sorry, I'm going to stick by citing sources, but on the other hand, you're right, we got to get out and get dirty.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We'll go to our next caller. Thank you for waiting, caller.
Good morning, fellows and ladies. Sir Celeste and Sir Cecil.
Good morning.
Good one. I heard that Ree said that I was on the internet, that it was told to us, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's an honor to come on the air right behind your last caller, a man with a definite sense of mind and sense. Appreciate him. Hope to see him at the rallies and being outside the studio, but I know both of you are on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting this person myself, you know, because
just to
shake a
embrace.
Hand. Yeah.
Embrace, you know, if he's out there doing it, I know. know you're out there doing it, Celeste. I know you're out there doing it, Cecil. And I'm learning a little bit myself. I'll be going to the Aristide movie tonight. I heard Aristide mention. Did they mention the movie tonight?
Yes.
Okay, good, y'all. Okay. Well, I can't even got 3 minutes of things to talk about. I just wanted to get that in there. Keep doing your wonderful show every Monday morning. Start the week off right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your call.
Okay, thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland More Talk Radio. Coming up at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour, so stay tuned for
and
that
then
programming.
What comes up after that
is,
I believe that's
Health Watch.
Mm-hmm. And then
Earth Watch.
Right.
And then
Democracy Now. Right. Wow, what a full plate.
And
it's brought to you just by being a member of KBOO. And if you're not a member, well, it's brought to you anyway, but don't you want to support this?
I know.
Yeah. 503-231-8187 to join in the conversation. And this is open forum, so that means you can talk about anything you want, you know. Even if it might not be our favorite topic, we'll still talk to you. You can give us a call and join in, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Cecil?
Yes.
Yeah, here we are.
Okay, good. Well, I have a reference, a citation for you asking that people cite their sources. And in relation to that caller, I think that's Michael. Especially his point that we learn in the contradictions mm-hmm. and in the conflicts. That's where information comes from. So it's kind of a long website address, so people give people a moment to get a pencil and paper. Here, I'll say it once through, and then I'll go back and spell it.
Okay, go ahead.
This is going to be 0911.site.vola.fr/index2.htm. Here it is in slow motion.
Yeah.
0911.site, dot voila, F-O-I-L-A, I'm sorry, V-O-I-L-A, 0911.site.voila.fr, that's for France, /index2.htm, I-N-D-E-X, numeral 2.htm. It's a French website. It's a column of photographs taken at the Pentagon, and you scroll down the column to the bottom photo, which shows the hole in the wall of the Pentagon that's only 70 feet wide or so. And then he has superimposed the scale, the plane that was supposed to go in there, and the plane don't fit. You must admit, the plane don't fit in that hole. So,
not even the fuselage.
Right.
Okay.
And because it is photographs of mm-hmm. the actual event.
Right.
You can see that there's no fuselage wreckage. Not only does the plane not fit in the hole, there's nothing left outside the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, this is not a conspiracy. This is just evidence. And the evidence don't match. There's the contradiction. I don't go beyond that. I don't say what happened. And I think that's the weakness of a lot of the comments. They immediately after seeing the photograph, the mind, anybody's mind, starts to try to make up some idea of what happened. I don't. I just want some questions answered. What went in that hole? It was not that plane. So where did the plane go? I don't know. I don't have any theories
mm-hmm.
about that. Just here is the evidence. A child can see it. It's a photograph.
Yeah.
It's an international. It takes no words to explain it. It's a simple photograph. There's the hole. There's the plane they said went in it. You must admit that plane don't fit. And now that leads to questions. It doesn't lead to an answer. That's where the conspiracy accusation or the theoretical accusations have some get their footage when someone proposes a theory and they don't know. I don't know. then you could, they can be charged with making up a theory. Don't make up a theory. Just look at this photograph. 0911.site.voila.fr /index2.htm. And it's a website in France, and that's why it hasn't been shut down.
Okay, well, we just pulled it up, and it's not shut down yet, so great.
Well, photographs take a while to download, but when you get it loaded, is that what you're saying, Cecil?
Yes, yes.
When you get it loaded, scroll down to the bottom, mm-hmm. And look at the bottom photo of the hole. There's other information at the same website. It would be at index 1 and index 3 and index 4 and index 5. There's other material to look at. Again, it's international. There's no words. It's just photos of actual event. And I think all it does is raise questions because there's a contradiction. That plane don't fit.
Okay, well, thank you for that information and for directing us to that website.
Just one reference. A great show this morning.
Thank you.
Take care.
And again, for that website is 0911.site.voila.fr/index2.htm.
Right.
Our numbers.
503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Jamie.
Hello.
Okay. Good morning.
Can you hear me good?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Powell will be in Salem today.
At the university or where?
At Willamette. He'll be at Willamette at 7, mm-hmm. and he's doing some sort of a dinner or something, I think, at the new convention center at 5. So people in Salem might want to call Oregon Peace Works at 503-585-2767.
585, what's the last four digits again?
503-585-2767.
Okay.
They should probably know more of the details. I just read it briefly yesterday in the Statesman Journal.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I also think the Statesman Journal would know about it, and Willamette University would also know about it. So there's some information there. I didn't see anything about him being in Portland, but then we only got Eugene and Salem papers at the Corvallis Beanery yesterday. So what can we say?
Hey, well, that's
we don't buy the paper. We just read it at the Beanery.
All right.
That's the best way.
Yeah, well, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay. Hugs to you both.
Thank
all
you.
Righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now that Mr. Powell is somewhat free of the administration, and certainly some people who have worked with him, his chief of staff has spoken out against the Defense Department and the way they conducted the war. I will see if Mr. Powell has some comments now that
he's not a good soldier.
Now that he's not a good soldier. And if you want some more information, as the caller suggested, call Oregon Peace Works, who may know more about his visit there and may be any possible actions.
And then also the Statesman Journal.
And Statesman Journal.
All righty. Well, we got a few minutes left here, about, 8. So we'll go to our next couple of callers here. Good morning. You're on there.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, we are.
Please speak up because you're very, very faint. I heard on the news that George Bush went to Mongolia and he sat under a giant statue of Genghis Khan, and I thought how appropriate because that's his George Bush's policy, and also his policy is right out of Nikolai Mana. Oh dear.
The prince?
That Italian guy.
Yeah, Machiavelli.
Machiavelli, right.
Mm-hmm. So cruel.
Yes.
I don't think that our president has quite the ingenuity or the finesse to pull off either one of those. He relies too heavily on other folks to do his planning and his implementation.
Like Cheney.
Well, yes. Yeah, Karl Rove or any of those might fall under that, but not Bush.
But he's the one that CEO.
Right, exactly.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And the buck does stop there.
I heard on the news Baghdad gets power about 4 hours a day, but New Orleans, there's some people down there trying to repair their houses, and they were telling NBC, we don't have any power, we don't have any water, we can't fix our homes.
Well,
so outsourcing that
very much so. So
yes, that's true.
And while I'm at it, I want to say about politics. Poor John Kennedy, when he became president, said, on this earth, God's work must surely be our own.
Yes.
And then when Lyndon Johnson became president, he said, when I became president, I learned we were running a murder incorporated in the Caribbean. So he extended it to Vietnam, and then Richard Nixon extended it to the whole of Asia.
Yes.
And then the Bushes are extending it to the whole world.
Yes. The empire.
And that's my 3 minutes.
Hey, well, thank you so much for calling. And you're listening to KBOO 90.7. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, and thank you for waiting.
Hello, Torden Power, Friday in Salem at the Convention Center.
Okay, convention.
The Convention Center, the new hotel complex between Liberty and Commercial and a couple of blocks south of Center Street in Salem. And he will be there at 7. And I think people are planning to gather there at 5. I don't know. He may be at Willamette University earlier in the day, but I don't know the details of anybody's plans to confront him there.
Okay, so he'll be at the convention center at 7, and people are planning to gather outside?
Yeah, and okay. That's downtown. Downtown in Salem.
Okay, well, that's good information.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I think we have another call, so we'll go to that call. Good morning, caller.
Morning. I just want to make a statement, something I've been noticing, and that is that the war on terrorism plus the New World Order equals white supremacy. And I've been noticing that, and I'd like your comments on that. Thank you. I'll take it off the air.
Hey, thank you so much. I think there's a lot of accuracy in there. I think there's a seamless garment in terms of the way the empire has worked. And I think the war on terror, as it has been conducted, is personally, this is Cecil Prescott speaking, that I think it's an extension of the white supremacy.
You know, it was really interesting. I only caught part of the actual story that was on the news this morning here on KBOO, but it was with regard to a Cuban terrorist who was in Orlando, and they were seeking extradition. And there was a Cuban nationalist group that was really upset, and a student spoke, saying something to the fact that they were both amazed and mystified, but at the same time not surprised, because this current administration had been really selective in how they punished or prosecuted or pursued people who were perceived to be terrorists. And there was a group that within Cuba was working to do just the same thing that this administration was doing in trying to root out terrorists. Who may or may not have had any connections to 9/11, I don't remember. But the point was that these very same people who were trying to root out terrorists were themselves accused of being terrorists. And so, you know, it really has to make you wonder. You have to pause for a moment and think, what exactly is the aim and the definition of this so-called movement, this anti-terrorist movement? And you can't really say nowadays that you are a white supremacist unless you're in closed circles. And so you have to wonder, when you look at how things such as the Patriot Act are being implemented, how we seek to basically go into other countries, root out people, upset their infrastructure, upset their government, all in the sake of is searching out terrorists. And that doesn't mean to say that I'm not for a strong national defense, but I'm very careful in how I define that. But when it comes to us going into other countries or even in this country here, oppressing people, like it's been used in the guise of anti-terrorism, you have to kind of agree. Would you call it the seamless garment?
Yeah, and I think we also have to be very careful in terms of not accepting or using the terms that those in power use. So we succumb to things when we say the war on terror. I'm not sure.
I put quotations around that because I don't know what they mean.
And so we have to be very careful. Yeah. We talk about we want democracy. What does that mean?
You know, when we say don't use that word, I have to watch myself. We need to break it out and unpack that suitcase and say the framework. Use a word to describe the framework that we're referencing when we say democracy.
One person terrorist is another person freedom fighter.
That's right.
We'll go
our
to
quote
the
unquote insurgent.
Insurgent. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to go to Baghdad and then to New Orleans. The war in Iraq looks a lot like a Zionist style occupation of Arab land, and what is going to come out of it that's going to hurt everybody, but probably the poor people in this country the most, is this militarized policing, this idea that if they suspect you of living in a bad neighborhood or if they see the neighborhood as a bad neighborhood, they can just go in with overwhelming military-type force and knock down doors and drive tanks through houses and things like that. I'm sure that far-right elements coming out of these far-right-wing think tanks are just rubbing their hands in glee. And I believe that the Israeli government, as an aggressive force in the Middle East, is pushing for these tactics. And they feel that they're becoming more secure by just sort of neutralizing other countries. And they got the United States to do this because I believe that most of the U.S. politicians are bought out by foreign governments. And, you know, the people really do need to stand up on this issue. We need to put pressure on our Congress because they've let this dictator in the White House go off and do this in the name of the American people. Now, I want to talk about New Orleans just for a minute.
Actually, you've got less than a minute. But
okay.
No.
The NOW program on Sunday night showed how the labor contractors are bringing undocumented workers into the area and giving them jobs ahead of American citizens, and they're forcing them to live in, like, freight trailers in crowded conditions. The undocumented trafficked human beings are being cheated out of pay. And meanwhile, American citizens who could be getting a good job, that is, when there's need, there should be an increase in wages, when there's demand for service. And instead, the right-wing traffics people around the world and forces them to do low-paying jobs. And the net result is that we're all becoming kind of like Palestinian. If you're a working-class person, you're just kind of a Palestinian. In other words, the authorities just don't care about you at all, and we need to wake up. It's not a color thing. It's a class thing, and the oppressors are like some fascist aristocrats, and the people need to wake up
right,
and oppose
Paul.
It.
Well, thank you for your call. There was a couple of things I kind of wanted to challenge. We're a little out of time,
Okay.
Well, we'll have a chance to talk some more about the whole politics of New Orleans when we get Glenn Ford on, which will be December 5th, next Monday. But as we get ready to close, rather than comment on the calls, I just want to leave with this announcement here. We talk about getting out and getting dirty and taking a moment to recognize what the injustice is and then tackling it. And so with that having been said, I want to bring note to a moment that we'll take on December 1st, 2005, to remember how one person helped start another movement. And it all started on the bus. 50 years ago, civil rights leader Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to give up a seat to a white man. Her actions sparked the young minister, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and others to organize a boycott of the segregated city-owned bus company. Join TriMet, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and the community to commemorate Rosa Parks' legacy and the 50th anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott. Personal stories of the civil rights movement, State Senator Margaret Carter, and then Albina Ministerial Alliance President Dr. T. Allen Bethel, looking to the future, will be the general manager of Fred Hansen of TriMet. But most importantly, it will be at 12 o'clock a moment to just reflect, because the buses are supposed to pull over and observe a moment.
And that
that's
is
the important part.
That's December 1st
that's
at 12
December
noon.
December 1st, 12 noon.
And this gathering is?
The gathering will be at the Emmanuel Temple.
That was in the
at
evening.
At 1032 North Sumner Street. That's at 11 a.m. on Thursday the 1st. So if you can, you can do that. Of course, you would take TriMet bus line number 4, President. So remember that. Take a moment. Reflect on what's important to you and activate. Stay tuned. This is your Community Connection, KBOO. The Old Mole Variety Hour is up next.
Thank you.